Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
I'm going to read a psalm, just a couple of verses in a psalm. Psalms 27, it says, "The Lord is my light." Whose light is he? Stay with me, church. The Lord is my light. Let's say it together. The Lord is my light. Okay, not someone else's light. He is their light, but he is your light. Just like our Father, he is someone else's father, but he is your father. And he is your light. And then it says, he is your salvation. And salvation is not just put your hand up, get saved. That begins the journey, but it's you are saved, you will be saved, and you'll keep on being saved. So he is your ongoing salvation. He is not once he was your light, he is your continued light. And as you continue to walk in his light and have fellowship one with the other, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. Oh, it's good to dwell in the light. Don't be a darkness dweller. Walk in the light. Live in darkness. You carry on the deeds of darkness. You stumble. But when you walk in the light, you understand your surroundings and it's clear. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. And the next part is powerful. Whom shall I fear? Now, if God is our light, there's no darkness. I usually get afraid in the darkness. I'm usually not afraid in the light. If I hear a noise outside at night, I send my wife out to check. Because I don't like darkness. She'll hear a noise out to say, "John, there's a noise outside." I just pretend to be asleep. If it's outside, cool, leave it out there. Walk outside and get a smack in the head, what for? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I can't get past this light thing at the moment. Some of you people are bound up in fear because of darkness. But I want to tell you, if you're walking in the light, your fears will be dispelled. He is the light of the world. Those that dwell in darkness have seen a great light. It doesn't say those who walk in darkness have felt a great light. No, they've seen a great light. It's not all what you see. It's not all what you hear. It's what you see. And I believe that seeing the great light, understanding the light of God within your light is such a powerful thing. Okay, whom shall I fear? It says the Lord is the strength of my life. So he's not only the light, he's not only the salvation, he is the strength of my life. Oh, I've tried so long to be strong, but now I find my strength is in God. Where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Man, he keeps you day and night. The Lord is your strength. Oh, I love the Lord today, don't you? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Shall I be afraid of rocket men? North Korea situation of all those who are trying to catch up? Shall I be afraid of what politics will do? No. No, it says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom? Whom shall I be afraid? He says, even when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Do you feel that sometimes, man, life is trying to bite you and to eat you up and consume you? This is what David's trying to say in his words in his psalm. But then he says, the enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. So it doesn't mean they're not there. They are there, but they'll stumble and fall at the mention of the name of our Lord. Though an army encamp against me. Well, that's a few more than one. It says, my heart shall not fear. Though wars rise against me, in this I will be confident that the Lord is my light and my salvation, and he is my strength. Do you notice something interesting about that verse? Three times it says a phrase. And what is it? Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? My heart shall not fear. The most frequent commandment in the Bible, apart from the Big Ten, is do not be afraid. So many things come to us and cause fear. Fear of being alone. Fear of not having enough money. Fear of our future security and relationship. Fear of, will God leave me and forsake me? Fear of sickness. Fear of old age. Fear of falling. So many fears. And no doubt each one of us here today has got some fear that's kind of trying to nip at our heels. And I want to tell you, that's just life. But God says, don't be afraid. Because God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, rational judgment. And the enemy wants us to be irrational. 86% of your fears will never be realized. So there are certain things that we need to be wise in, but don't carry a spirit of fear. Then it goes on in verse 14 that says this, I would have lost heart unless I believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14. Then it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Oh, isn't that cool? The Lord's my light, my salvation, my strength. Whom shall I be afear? And then it says, be of good courage. Look at me. The light is the Lord's. The salvation is the Lord's. The strength is the Lord's. The courage is you. Are you hearing me today? You got to bring something to the party. And he says, you bring courage. And he says, bring good courage. So if there's good courage, there must be bad courage. So I looked at the bit of the root meaning of the word courage, and it means this, to be determined. You can be determined about something wrong, but he says, have good courage, that you're determined about the good things in life. It means to be persistent. It means to be obstinate. And if you reverse all those things, you can be persistent. You can be, determined and obstinate for the wrong things. But he says, be of good courage. Be determined to live for God. Be determined to be a man and woman of God. Have that determination and that persistence in your life. You bring that to the party. And you might say, you're not that courageous. Yeah. Yes, you are. You just need to develop it. Okay? Things in life that are eternal are developed. You develop them. They start as a seed and they grow. Faith is developed. Love is developed. You've got a greater love capacity today than you did yesterday. Even though you think, oh man, my patience is very short, I guarantee it may be shorter, but it was shorter a year ago. You might say you're a bit of a disturbed person, but if you love the Lord, you are less disturbed today than you were last year. Why? Because the things in God grow and they do not diminish as we keep walking with God. Even your strength does. Oh, I just thank God for his strength. And all those mighty things that he gives within our life. Man, they're without law, they're without limitation. They keep growing. How strong can you get? How much love can you get? Give. How much peace? There is no limit on those things. How much courage can you have within your life? So be of good courage. You know, historically, we've seen courage as manifest on battlefields, where people have given their lives on battlefields and gone there. Some returned, some haven't. And they served the great cause of freedom for their country. And we celebrate people that displayed great valor and courage in fighting for their country. But also, we kind of limit sometimes courage just to the battlefield. But I believe that courage can be seen in people's lives that had bad starts, where they determined that the bad start, or my birthing situation, or my birthing conditions, or what happened to me as a child, that they didn't let that be the end of the story. They displayed courage, persistence, determination, not to allow the hand they got to be the hand they held forever, and move forward in courage. Look to the screen.
After being cut from his high school basketball team, he went home, locked himself in his room, and cried. He wasn't able to speak until he was almost 4 years old, and his teachers said he would never amount to much. Was demoted from her job as a news anchor because she wasn't fit for television. Fired from a newspaper for lacking imagination and having no original ideas. At age 11, he was cut from his team after being diagnosed with a growth hormone deficiency, which made him smaller in stature than most kids his age. At 30 years old, he was left devastated and depressed after being unceremoniously removed from the company he started. A high school dropout whose personal struggles with drugs and poverty culminated in an unsuccessful suicide attempt. A teacher told him he was too stupid to learn anything and that he should go into a field where he might succeed by virtue of his pleasant personality. Rejected by Decca Recording Studios, who said, "We don't like their sound, they have no future in show business." His first book was rejected by 27 publishers. His fiancée died, failed in business, had a nervous breakdown, and was defeated in 8 elections.
Courage. See, it doesn't matter, or it does matter what's happened to you, but the other side of that is more important. Is that going to be the finality, or are we going to have courage to rise up and keep going? And I just get inspired by little clips like that because it just encourages me that it doesn't matter what situation I was born into or how people spoke to me. You see, when I went through Bible college, or even when I was in school, my teachers used to say, you're pretty stupid. You're not like, I'm the youngest in my family. You're not as smart as the rest of your family. And that does play on you a bit. And I'm still getting counseling. Went to Bible college and it was no better. Went to see the principal and said, "Oh, man, I'd love to be a pastor." He says, "You haven't got it. Don't waste your time." See, it all depends what's in you. Yeah, come on. I've always refused to be a victim. And maybe sometimes I've had the wrong attitude and that kind of stuff, but I knew something inside of me. I wasn't trying to be a try-hard and that kind of stuff, but man, it's what you do the other side of the rejection. That kind of adds the definition to your life. Courage. We can talk about courage under fire, or we can talk about courage being defined within our life. And as I was looking at that, that failure is not fatal. What people may say is not as important as what you keep saying to yourself. And that's why the Bible encourages us, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. You've got to find the melody that God is saying within your spirit and begin to say those things to your own life. Stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. In private, that is. You know. Stop trying to talk yourself up and something you're not, but talk yourself to what you is. You are a child of God. You are gifted. You have the power of heaven upon your life to fulfill the call and the destiny that He has for you. It's a courage to change, to break through the counts. And I've found in my life that courage, something that I bring to the party, determination and persistence is something that's helped build my character and make me the person that I am today and will be in the future. I'm not there yet. You see, courage can also be that you're winning in your race of life. Could be financially. Could be relationally. Could be ministry. And then you have a setback. What do you do then? You know, the first clip we looked at was those who kind of hadn't made anything and they kind of were kept down, but courage rose within their heart. But what about those that were on the track? Then something happens. What do you do? No matter what's tripped you up, it's not fatal. Are you hearing me? Get up. Get up. Someone needs to hear that today. Get up. Get up and run again. Shake yourself off. She could have said, oh, mummy. But she got up. Cry mummy later. I remember when I was a little kid and I was at my father's property and I had my favorite little three-wheeler bike. And I don't know how old I was, probably about 7 or 8. And my father was building a retainer wall at the back of our house. And it wasn't that high. But in my three-wheeler bike, I was trying to get as close as I could to the edge. And you know what happened, don't you? I fell down on my back. And I couldn't get up. And I can still hear my father yelling, John, get up! Get up! You can't! Get up! He probably said it about 5 or 6 times. And in the end, I did get up. And I said to him later, I can remember this conversation. It's not just John's imagination. I do remember this. And I said to Dad, why did you keep on saying, get up? He said, I want to see if you could get up. He didn't know if I had back injury. He didn't know what was wrong for me. He said, I just want to know if you could get up. And I just encourage you today. Man, we all get tripped up in life. There's always stumbles and some are little and some are huge. But God calls us, stand up. Get up again. Get healed. Get moving again in life. In Jesus' name. You know, that says that, you know, we saw there that someone had a setback and they won their race. But others we see that they have a setback. And even though they're limping, they still finish their race. I've seen clips similar to that where they just get up and they can hardly move, but they keep on going to the finish line. Yeah, because they want to finish. And I believe that courage is demonstrated in that. Like Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished. And God has destined each one of us to display courage. And it's something that's spiritually inherent in each one of us. The courage to see the plan and purpose that God has got for our life to be realized in Jesus' name. And you might say, I really don't know what to do with my life. Well, if you work, get up every day and go to work. If you're unemployed, get up every day and volunteer somewhere. Are you hearing me today? I don't know what God's got for me. Get up every day and live for God. Pray, serve, tithe, Just display courage, and as you get moving, you'll be surprised what God can do in your life as you just begin to get moving. And there's some people here today, you may be unemployed, and I've got no qualms with unemployed. You know, but if you're able to work and you're not working, go and volunteer. There's something happens to your life when you're just sitting at home doing nothing. You look unemployable. But when you begin to serve, there's a shine that comes on your face, and you will find that very soon you will be employed. Wisdom from John.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.